Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hello, Archons. Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational Keyforge podcast by and for Keyforge friends. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm joined this week by my best Keyforge friend, Blake. Hey, Blake, how you doing?
Hey, Sydney. I'm doing outstanding. It's been a good week. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I am fantastic. And one of the reasons I'm fantastic is because we are also joined today by Justin from Tabletop Royale. Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited you're here. Everything about today is amazing. I'm so happy to talk to you about yourself and TTR and everything about Keyforge.
I am super excited to talk about myself a lot.
Oh my gosh, that'll be amazing. But before we hop right into that, we have a couple of things. So this coming weekend is the Vegas Vault Tour, and I'm super, super excited because I am going to meet Blake in person at the Vegas Vault Tour, and you two are also going to meet in person for the first time.
Yeah, it's super exciting.
Yes, I'm super excited to just interact with Keyforge peoples. I've barely gone to that locally, so getting to do it on a, for me, international level will be awesome.
That's one of my favorite parts about Vault Tours in general, is just kind of interacting with the community and just the community coming together. It's always fun to meet new people and see familiar faces there.
100% my favorite part. It's one of the reasons I'm flying in Thursday. So not only do I like get a Thursday night so that I can hang out late, because Friday night, you don't want to hang out late. Saturday morning, you're busy. You can't guarantee you're hanging out late Saturday night in case you make Sunday. So Thursday night, having some fun. And then Friday all day, finding every single Keyforger I can and hanging out and having fun in Vegas.
I'm spending the morning by the pool, I'm not going to lie. Friday morning,
that's
I'm
a good
going
plan.
By the pool, getting some sun. It'll relax me for the day.
Bring bathing suits. Good reminder. Yes. Didn't even think of that. Totally happening.
The pool looks nice.
I know, right? But other things on the news list before we hop right into to Justin and TTR is the Grim Reminders campaign starts this Thursday, September 28th. So go ahead and check them out right now. And there's also a YouTube video by Amber Medes recently on Lorcana versus Keyforge. It's super exciting and interesting. If you haven't checked it out yet, go ahead and find it on YouTube on Amber Medes' channel.
I'm calling it right now. Lorcana is the gateway to get new Keyforge players. We just need the product in stores in abundance so it can be successful.
The resource system, or the game ending, I guess the win con of Lorcana, right? It's so similar to Keyforge that it's, I think it's an easy transition to make. And Lorcana is like, it's like a simplistic version of Magic combined with Keyforge, it feels like, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it's a super easy transition to make.
And it's funny, even like mathematically, it's very similar because you have to get to 20 lore. And so you're getting to, in total, 18 Amber. It's just, it's so easy for people to pick up Keyforge once they've picked up Lorcana. So very excited for that video to make the rounds.
Actually, part of the Lorcana mechanic that made me appreciate keys and Keyforge more is the 20 versus forging three keys, because the breakpoints of keys is so much more interesting than just getting to a total of 20 and the game's over, right?
I completely agree.
And for more information on Lorcana, check out Justin's TTR video.
Yeah, we did. We did one Lorcana video.
Speaking of TTR, so Justin, tell us about yourself. Who are you and how'd you get into Keyforge and what's TTR?
Okay, so my name is Justin. I got into Keyforge on release. Nathan and I started playing it, I think right when it came out. We both got displays of Call of the Archons, and I think we got two displays each, because I remember we both had 24 decks, and we sat down across the dining room table and we're like, all right, let's see what this game is all about. We ended up playing through every single one of those decks, just like opening, playing, and we're like, you know what, this game rules. It's so fun. We need to buy more. So we each bought 24 more, 24 more decks each.
Wow.
And did the same thing again. So at that point we were like, okay, we have, 98 decks. I think we had two more because of, starter sets and stuff.
Sure.
So we were like, okay, how do we find out which of these 100 decks is the best deck? Right. I don't know what's the most scientifically gamer way to find out which of these is the best. So like, so, okay. How do we do this? We need to set up a tournament. We need to play these decks a lot against each other. So our initial thought was, okay, let's make a bunch of pods of 8 decks and we'll play them all round robin. And the best records will advance to another round. They'll all play each other. So we did that once. We made one pod of 8 decks and we played them all round robin. And we're like, you know what? We should be streaming this. We should be filming this. This is like a lot of content. And there wasn't really that much Keyforge gameplay content out there at the time, because this is November 2018.
Wow.
So it was, I believe, it was like Black Friday. It was like Thanksgiving weekend. And so that Friday I was like, okay, I'm going to go get stuff just to be able to stream. It's not going to be like great quality. It's just going to be enough to get us started.
Sure.
And so I went to Best Buy and I got like a camera and I was using my old work laptop.
Oh my gosh.
It was not good. It was not good quality, but the stream's still out there. You can still watch it today. The fan on my laptop was just like blazing the whole time. We did end up adjusting our tournament rules a little bit. Ooh. For it to be a little more stream friendly. So what we do now, and we did then, and what we still do to this day is we did groups of four, pods of four decks, each playing round robin.
Nice.
And so that is 25 pods of four decks, each playing round robin. And if they get a 2-1 or 3-0 record, or then they advance to the second round of the tournament.
Wow.
Which we then regroup again. We randomize and regroup then into four deck pods again. Those all play through. And then again, if it's 2-1 or 3-0 or better in those pods, they advance to the finals, the final rounds. The final round is a single elimination bracketed tournament.
Nice.
At the end of that tournament, the winner is then crowned the Tournament of Champions winner for that set.
That's an insane amount of Keyforge.
It is. It takes about 6 months to do a set's worth of.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's not like that times out really well with the old release schedule of Keyforge.
That was the idea. That was the idea. Is by the time we were finishing one, usually we would be moving into the next one, which it's only really worked out like that one time, I think, with like AOA. So what we've done in the meantime is we found like filler tournaments. We did a thing called G1. We did a thing called March Madness, where we did like a 32 deck tournament with a bunch of different sets. So our stream really revolves around gameplay first. A lot of gameplay. We just like playing the game. So I mean, most of the time we start a stream, we immediately start playing because we have to get through six games and it takes like 2 hours. So we don't waste any time.
That's so fantastic.
Have you ever had a deck that you wrote off that you end up coming back to later and realize it was way better than it showed in the test?
So or the tournament? Yes, there was a lot of decks, especially when you're playing, because all these major tournaments are all interset. So it's like Coda versus Coda all the time. It's AOA versus AOA all the time. So there can be a set that is bad against other decks of its set, but are very good against other decks of other sets. So we've had decks that did not do well in the Tournament of Champions do very well in like the March Madness, where we have a bunch of different sets all intermingled in the tournament. Because like maybe an AOA deck that is like heavy creature control, oh, it does really well against Dark Tidings and Mass Mutation and maybe even Woe now. So I was looking at trying to find some AOA decks that were heavy creature control, for instance, to combat all the Woe in the meta right now.
Totally. Have you had some favorites like crop up to the top, even though like not bests, but favorites?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's the ones that we're like kind of rooting for that you hate to see go during the tournament. Like, cause there's the eliminations, right? When a deck gets two losses in a pod, it's done. And you're like, dang, I was like really looking forward to playing some more of this deck, but like, it couldn't quite get there. And so like, that would be a deck where we were like, okay, let's put this deck in another tournament, get some more content out of it. Nice. And see if it can do well there.
Totally.
Because there are decks that are like, they're like really fun to play, but don't necessarily win.
Right. Absolutely. So what has been your like your best learning experience during that whole time doing like deck after deck after deck? What is your like most common learning experience?
Well, just playing so much IRL Keyforge, I think, gives us a level of comfort. Especially when we go to vault tours and stuff, because I think most people, the majority of Keyforge they play is on TCO. So
nailed it.
Yeah. So like just having the tactical nature of always handling our cards and decks and playing and working through all the triggers on our own without something else handling it is really, really, really helpful when you go to a big tournament, because you know what to expect. You have to like think and actively resolve all of these little triggers that might happen during the course of a game. And you have to sort of know why all the rules work a certain way instead of letting like a browser handle it for you.
Sure.
But I think that's definitely been my, like, I feel like that's been giving me a little edge, because that's one less thing I have to think about while I'm playing a game of Keyforge.
So Sydney's going to know what I'm probably about to say here, but I actually like playing on TCO because I find I'm a much worse player on TCO. So when I go and sit down with something, it's like not having all those things in TCO, I play so much better and I feel so dialed in. That's almost like I was playing with a handicap like weights on your wrist or something, shooting a basketball. And when you take their wrists off, you can shoot the weights off. You can shoot so much more, like more power and everything. That's literally how I feel when I play like on TCO, and then I go and play IRL Keyforge. It's like so exhilarating. I can't even describe it.
I get really confused so easily on TCO. Like I will click the wrong thing and be like, why didn't that work? And like, and that's just this is dumb stuff that I would have never missed in real life. So I totally relate to that.
Yeah. I had an example that I told Blake off air where I love playing Igor, and then usually the first prompt is which flank Igor is going to be on, and then the prompt is of the three cards, which one you're going to pick. And I am so quick to just click left flank, yep. No matter what, left flank. But when it's the only thing that it's on the board and there is no flank, the first prompt that comes up, it skips the flank prompt. The first prompt that comes up is which card. And I have picked so many cards based on left flank being the button I think I'm clicking. It's the worst. And so at least, you know, that's not a mistake I'm going to make in person.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite things about TTR is that your content is all live action. It's not digital because most other content creators do it. It's definitely the thing I'm most envious of you guys is that you have such a great setup just to be able to just play. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's such a great aspect within the community because I don't think anyone else really shows live gameplay like that as a regular segment. And it's just fantastic that you provide that and you've been doing
it
for so long.
Yeah, we are lucky that we currently live together and we have like a room dedicated to streaming. Like that's not a thing that most other people can like do.
Amazing. So,
as long as we're able to do that, we will.
So where do you get all of your product from? Like you have hundreds of decks per set. Like where are you acquiring? Just local game stores or?
Nathan actually works at a game store.
Oh,
so,
cool.
He works at a pretty big game store in the town next door to us. So he's worked in game stores most of his life. So he's very, very in tune with the market and how they work and all that stuff. So we can pretty much get them like on pre-order from game stores. Of course, with Keyforge now we're all crowdfunding, so we're hitting up GameFound, which is cool with me. But for like other card games and stuff, we usually go through his store.
Oh, cool! That's awesome. So while you're playing, you have an audience, and does the audience ever like give you guys tips? Are they ever like interacting with the game that you're playing?
Well, they don't give us. Well, sometimes they give us tips. Sometimes they might point out a play that they thought was, you know, not the best play. And there are always arguments to be made whether something is the best play or not is my perspective. Sometimes I make a play that might look really bad and I was always right at the end. But yes, we have one particular viewer and I'll call them out. Murtani, great viewer. They are so quick to point out when we miss a rule. And that's like really important. Like we want to try to get all rules right or like any missed triggers and stuff because, you know, we want the game to not have an asterisk on it, right? We'll say, oh, that game had an asterisk because we missed this really important rule earlier on that we kind of like glossed over. We had to move on with the game, right? We can't go back. We can't roll it back at that point. So Murtani will like usually is pretty eagle-eyed as far as like rules and interactions go. And they will let us know in chat whenever something like that happens. So I'm like, I'll play a card. I'll kind of like look over to chat and see if Murtani said anything. All right, we're good.
That's amazing. So you have played so much from each set. Which one is your favorite set?
Oh, which one is my favorite set? AOA.
Really?
AOA is really fun. I like the way that AOA feels when it's like a high power Archon deck. I also like just AOA sealed. It's mm-hmm. it's very fun. Some of my fondest memories are from AOA sealed Vault Horrors. So nice. And I know Nathan probably would agree with that for the most part. AOA is the connoisseur's Keyforge set.
That's fantastic.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting you say that because I remember seeing you and Nathan at Nova at the Grand Championships. I didn't know who you were, but I clearly remember seeing you there. And it's funny that you say you have really good memories because I definitely have great memories of interactions. But in terms of like a tournament play, that is definitely one of my worst Keyforge.
That tournament was miserable. Oh, however, yeah. I do look back at that tournament fondly because I had for the longest time the decks that I had in that Nova Sealed Triad, by the way. So if people who are listening are not aware of how Sealed Triad works, is back then at least it was you would get three decks, you open them, you're playing a best of three against your opponent. Your opponent would look at your decks and they would ban one of them. However, it's sealed, so you couldn't look at the list. So you're banning your opponent's deck simply off of house combinations. So most of the time you're like, okay, it's AOA. What's the thing that's going to beat me? Maybe Shadows is like the only thing that has Amber control. So you're just like, okay, you have a Shadows deck and then some Mars and some Brahmar. I don't know. I'll ban the Shadows deck, I guess. And it was just so, it was so random as far as like what would happen.
Oh my gosh.
But the three decks I had one that I considered pretty good. I had two that ended up being like our worst SAS decks for the longest time. It was like our worst SAS decks in our entire collection. However, I still made it through that tournament and got to top eight just off of sheer like gameplay knowledge of strategy and AOA. So I think AOA with a bad deck, you can still win games with just like some strategy and like card knowledge and gameplay knowledge. So that's what I felt like. I felt like it really rewarded the amount of time we had put into AOA just in my gameplay that tournament. I ended up losing in the top eight to decks that were just way better, and I couldn't do anything about it. So I knew that was like inevitable,
right?
But I still really enjoyed that tournament.
That's amazing.
No, yeah, it was a good time, but I only had one Shadows deck, so it was literally bad.
Yeah. I would not play that format again probably, but yeah. I'm glad I did.
Agreed. Yeah, I Triad's still my most favorite format to play.
So speaking of in-person events, you have been streaming with Nathan at the current and the recent Vault tours. What's that been like?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. We started our coverage of them. Our first ever Vault tour we covered was Richmond back in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was the one we covered back when it was the Yeti running them. And we asked Jeremy if we could cover Keyforge Celebration last year. And so we got a little spot up there. We One Star Peeps, Five Star Games is also streaming right next to us. And One Star Peeps is also going to be in Vegas. I'll just shout them out too, because we're going to be streaming both tournaments simultaneously. So One Star Peeps is going to be streaming the Archon tournament, and we're going to be streaming the Alliance tournament.
Love it.
So unlike the other Vault tours where we streamed both tournaments and sort of swapped between the two, viewers will now be able to watch both tournaments and see all the games from both tournaments, which is great.
Time.
Really exciting.
Like two screens, same time. Having them both up. Love it.
Two separate streams. Yep. You can have both streams up. You can be hanging out on Friday and Saturday, just enjoying, and Sunday, just enjoying enjoying a lot of Keyforge. So I'm like really looking forward to being able to bring that level of content to people. But it's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, especially when it was double elimination, right? Because it was 10-hour days in Philly.
Oh my gosh.
Like I think we streamed for 11 and a half hours on Saturday in Philadelphia.
Wow.
So it was quite a lot of work. And what Nathan and I have been doing is one of us will be running the stream while the other's playing in the tournament. So we want to play the game too, right? So
totally.
Coming up in Vegas, I'm going to be the one running the stream. Last time in, where were we last time? In Dallas. Minnesota. I wasn't in Dallas, but last time we streamed, Nathan ran the stream and I played. So luckily, I was able to qualify for Worlds by getting in the second place in the Alliance tournament. So I don't have to worry about playing in this Vault tour. I'm already ready for Worlds. So Nathan's going to be trying his hand
casual. You just drop that in there. That wasn't a like congratulations on your invite to Worlds. Like tell us how that ride was.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I like playing Alliance a lot. I think so I was really looking forward to playing in that tournament. I did a little bit of prep leading up to it, just kind of like trying to figure out what deck I felt most comfortable playing. I ended up landing on a Winds of Exchange deck using Berserker tokens and some Unfathomable stuff and some Equidon stuff.
No one's ever done that before.
Yeah, it's not that original. But it's a deck that I felt like I could pilot pretty well, and it had a pretty decent chance against the field. So I think that's as best you can do in Alliance. If you have an answer to most things, you'll do pretty well. And there you'll still lose games because it's Alliance and anything can happen, right? But I think some of the most actual interesting games of Keyforge that I've played in the last year were Alliance games.
That's amazing. So you made a post on your TTR Discord about the kinds of things that you like to see in Alliance and what a good Alliance deck has. So I'm just gonna throw some things at you. And if you could just like elaborate on some of those things, that would be amazing. Okay. So you say here, you list win condition, disruption, and a backup plan. Can you just give us a little more detail?
So my concept of win condition is that could mean a different thing for whatever your Alliance deck is. What are you trying to do? How do you win the game? What are you doing to forge three keys? And that could be as simple as, oh, I reap with my creatures. Oh, I have a bunch of Amber Pips in my deck. Or it could be a combo that you're trying to hit. It could be your Mars Generosity Key Abduction. It could be, yeah, it could be any other combos. You could be doing some like Whirlpool stuff. And we saw a really interesting Whirlpool deck where they were capturing a bunch of amber, like him to Duma, and then sending creatures over to their opponent, killing their opponent. That's how they generate their amber. They take it all from their opponent. They Whirlpool it over. They take it back, right? It could be just another type, any combo. You got Gangrenaud, stuff like that. Might makes right. Maybe someone will do that one day. It could be like, oh, my prospector tokens draw my whole deck, and then I don't know, I play a bunch of cards and win. Like, sure. That's your win condition, right? That's your strategy you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And then your disruption is, how do you stop your opponent from fulfilling their strategy? And that could be something as simple as having like artifact removal or creature removal, stuff like that. You could be playing Unfathomable. You could be playing Befuddles. Abyssal Sight's another way you could disrupt. Control of the Weaks, Marks of Dis, Eaton's Jar. So things that slow your opponent down and stop them from getting to their win condition before you get to yours. And then the backup plan is like, what if both you and your opponent have both completely stopped your game plans, like each other's game plans? How do you play like a normal game of Keyforge after that to win the game, right? Like, you're just going back and forth. You're playing a couple of creatures a turn, playing some actions a turn, and you just want to put together enough forward momentum to forge three keys before your opponent. So what's your game plan there? And that you might not necessarily have a backup plan, and that's okay. You can go all in on your main plan, but you should still consider like, what do you do if your main plan fails?
Totally. I absolutely love these. These are absolutely fantastic and so entirely true. Recently, mm-hmm. I've been testing out which pods I'm going to use in my deck for Vegas. And I was practicing with Blake, and it's funny that like he ended up giving me advice along the exact same lines, where actually being able to reap with the creatures I have on the board, even though it's like nothing to do with my win con, was something that scared him. Like, he actually was using creature control to reduce my board because I could have reaped out, and I should have in that moment. But like,
you literally had, I think, 6 or 7 worth of ember if you just reaped. And I was like, why aren't you reaping?
Yeah. And that's another thing to be able to pivot on your game plan and realize, hey, maybe this thing that isn't something I normally do to win the game is something I can do to win this game. That's an important skill to get to. And I think that comes with like reps with your deck too, right?
Absolutely.
Is Nathan playing Alliance, or is he going the Archon route?
He is going Archon this turn, or this time around. He played Alliance last in Philly, because that was the last tournament he played in. He played Alliance, but he brought his Archon deck, and he's been open about what deck he's playing, so I'll just tell you. It is Kant Phage, which is the deck he actually won Voltor Richmond with back in 2019.
Amazing.
Which was a sealed Voltor, so he wants to bring this deck that he always thought was his favorite Archon deck, or just favorite deck in general, to play in an Archon tournament. But back in Philly, there were so few people sign up for the Alliance tournament at the time that he pivoted to Alliance to see how well it could do. And I think he got 2 wins before he got eliminated.
Ooh. So
he was like doing okay with it, but he ended up losing to like a Halifest combo, which is kind of funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So he's going to be playing that in Vegas, and he's excited to see how he can do it in an Archon tournament with it.
So what do you think of you're going to be commentating Alliance the whole time? Like, are you excited about that? Are you going to miss commentating on Archon?
Oh, not at all. I'm so excited about commentating on Alliance. I mean, even in our streams at the Voltors that I was commentating, which was Philly, I was like, okay, I really want to watch Alliance games, guys. And the chat's like, no, we want to watch Archon. And now I don't even have to argue with them. I can just say, oh, we're watching Alliance. This is the stream. And I can commentate on Alliance the whole time. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So, do you have anything you want to bookend this with before we get to our titular segment?
I have no brain matter right now. My brain matter isn't moving around.
Love it. So we cannot end an episode of Help from Future Self without the titular segment.
Help from Future Self.
And Blake, you have one for us today.
I do indeed. So as I've been playing Alliance, brewing Alliance, trying to get the concept whittled down to the final form, one thing that I found at a certain point was the commitment to a build and then starting to just trust in it and go forward with it was a huge turning point in my preparation. And it's so easy in Alliance to just keep iterating, keep looking for that perfect pod to complete something. Or if I had one more card of this, and I think you got to get to a point where you just decide, you know what, I'm going to roll with this, and I'm going to get my games in. I'm going to start to learn how this works, because that's how we all learned how to play Keyforge, and trying to deck build that, I guess, precisely to get that extra card, I think works against you in the long run. I think you can have a different set of cards you could iterate, but there's a point where when you're trying to find just one more of this or another one of that, I think that you need to kind of stop and commit to your build and really spend some time with it and enjoy it, because that's how we all play Keyforge, and you're going to figure out the best way to get through it. I don't know, Justin, if you can speak on this when you're building. Do you constantly change, or do you?
I am constantly trying to find a better pod, and I think I'm going to take your advice. I think that's really good advice. I'm hearing you. I'm listening, and I'm going to take it to heart.
Yeah, because I found that I had more stress and anxiety trying to constantly find the thing. But once I just decided, you know what, I'm committed to this, I think it has everything I need to do, I felt much more calm. And then my stress level actually reduced, and I was able to enjoy playing Keyforge and the deck and getting familiar with the way things come together.
I like it. I like it a lot.
An added bonus to that, too, is like when you get an Archon deck that you aren't going to change and you play it a million times, you're learning things over and over, mm-hmm. like the deeper you go with it. If during Alliance, you think that you can solve a problem by getting a new pod, you're not focusing on what you think you can do by playing the deck. So you're not actually learning the nuances until you've played it a lot of times. I love that, too, Blake. That's a really good one.
I'm having revelations right now. Like, this is good stuff. I need to listen to this advice. This is very important for me to listen to this advice. Because I am like obsessively looking on Dex Keyforge, like, I got to find a better Unfathomable pod right now. Maybe I should just take a step back.
I just keep opening decks trying to find new pods. Yeah,
that's also a problem.
Amazing.
I mean, that's why I have no more AOA decks to open, is because
of
that.
Oh my God, I bought so many $17 boxes of AOA on Amazon, but like, please give me a broken deck, but I got some cool stuff, but I don't think anything I'm going to end up using.
I bought a lot of boxes as well and opened every single deck. Like, does it have double generosity? No, trash. Nope. Does it have double generosity? Nope, trash. I haven't even scanned them in, so I can't even search them on DOK.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Oh my gosh. Well, Justin, this was absolutely amazing. You're the best. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so super, super psyched to hang out with both of you this mm-hmm. weekend in Vegas. It's going to be a blast. And hopefully I might show my face on your stream again.
Absolutely. We would have room for bonus commentary. You can find our stream at twitch.tv/tabletoproyale, or you can see recordings of our streams at youtube.com/tabletoproyale. During the weekend of the Vegas Vault Tour, we will be live for the whole thing right on twitch.tv/tabletoproyale. So I hope you all will tune in and enjoy.
Amazing. And we, Help from Future Self, are on Discord. The link is in the show notes. You can find me on TCO and Discord as SC Steel. Blake, where can people find you?
You can find me in the Discord under Boulevard Blake. I also have my YouTube channel, but I've been sort of radio silent with content because I've been spending all my waking hours practicing rather than creating content. So my apologies. But after Vegas, I'm really excited to actually dive into streaming some gameplay for some ideas I want to investigate and discover.
Totally. After you win Vegas, after all of the grinding you've been doing pays off and you win Vegas.
Right.
I mean, absolutely. That would be the dream.
Awesome. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode of Help from Future Self. Until then, stay forging.